Okay, right, I better get us going because this one might take a little while. We're doing 25 years. 25 years! Okay. So, hey, everybody, hello, welcome to the 300th edition of the Filmwork Podcast. How proud does that make you feel?
I wish I had one of those, those paper sort of things that you blow at a pie. You know, just for that.
There you go.
I might put that in. I'll dub that in.
Do we know how many of those me and Sean have been on?
Yes, I do. And Sean is sort of slowly approaching the 70 number. Ben Pegley is literally only an episode or two away from his 100th.
Oh, yes.
Jesus.
So before we finish, Ben Pegley will hit 100 episodes.
Fantastic.
And for me, this is my 299th.
Jesus Christ, man. Jesus.
Yep.
So we thought we wanted to do this with as little work or effort or research as possible. So as the Oscars have literally just happened last week, congratulations winners, commiserations losers. You know, like I call them losers, are you? Fuck it, whatever. We thought we'd look back at the
nominees.
The nominees for the best film category since the year 1990. So I'm basically just going to go through this year at a time, list each of the nominees for each of the years, starting with 1990, and then we're going to discuss very quickly for each year whether we agree with that choice now. So shall we just leap in? Hello, Ben. Hello, Sean, by the way, so people know who's here.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Right. So, 1990, the winner for that year was Dances with Wolves. The other four nominees were Awakenings, Ghost, The Godfather Part 3, and Goodfellas. I have seen all five of those films, and I disagree with the winner.
me too.
I think it should have been Goodfellas.
Absolutely should have been Goodfellas.
Yeah. Ben, were you agreeing with that as well?
Yeah.
Quite surprised Godfather.
Yes, I do agree with that. Yeah. Weirdly, the only one of those movies that I saw at the pictures was, anyone guess?
Ghost.
No.
Awakenings.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
you
actually...
liked that trailer as well, did you? How are you? I'm fine, Doctor.
Yeah. Here's a disturbing fact for you, since Ben just did one. The film I've seen the most times out of that list is probably Ghost.
Yeah. Oh, dear. The film probably, I've seen the least is actually Dances with Wolves, the one that fucking won.
Yeah, me too. I think I've only watched it once or maybe twice.
Aren't you a big fan
even
of...
I've seen the four-hour version.
Is it you who's a big fan of Dances with Wolves, Stephen? I can't remember.
No, I'm a big Costner fan.
Costner
bizarrely,
fan, yeah.
I've only seen this film. This is the one that I've sort of rarely touched on, which is weird.
Mm. I swear it's come up in banter before.
Costner comes up quite a bit. I think Stephen and I are both quite fans of Costner. We've waxed lyrical about
him. In fact, I'd like to talk about his third film he did as a director, which was also, a Western, called Open Range, which was fucking superb. But what are you going to do? Anyway, let's move on to 1991. So the winner was Silence of the Lambs. The other nominees were Beauty and the Beast, Bugsy, JFK, and The Prince of Tides, which was a Tutti Frutti movie with Nick Nolte and Barbara Streisand, which I think she also directed.
Tutti Frutti.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that? Yeah, Beauty and the Beast stood out for being the first time that an animated film was up for Best Film.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm.
I mean,
but I think I'm actually... Oh, go on.
I think that Silence of the Lambs hands down deserved it from the nominations, but JFK was a fucking phenomenal film.
Fucking wasn't.
I'd loved it.
Well, I loved it too. I loved it too. But you have to be invested in the story to find
That's
it.
That's true,
film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big Costner fan, and in the 2 years that we've covered so far, I'm like, fuck him.
Sure. Yeah, you've just trading places. You know, you're just like, you know, like,
fuck him.
Yeah. I agree with Sean. I think Sansa Lambs.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Although, yeah, I'll just say quickly that Sansa Lambs, unfortunately for me, I didn't get to see that at the Flicks and saw it on video well after all the just gigantic hype had been around it, and it was a disappointment for me when I saw it, and I still don't like it very much. But I guess in that lineup, it's probably the right one.
Yeah. Oh, and to be fair, I haven't actually seen The Prince of Tides, but I'm kind of guessing it's not my kind of film. So on to 1992, our five nominees.
No problem there.
Winner was Unforgiven, and the other four films were The Crying Game, A Few Good Men, Howard's End, and Scent of a Woman. The only one I have not seen, for me, is Howard's End.
Me too.
There was something about those Merchant Ivory movies that just made me want to puke, so I avoided watching as many of them as possible. So for this year, I agree, I love Unforgiven.
Fuck me, yeah.
So
awesome.
I'm well up for it.
For me, it's like Howard's End, like just it's basically one apostrophe away from meaning something completely different. I've never seen the film either, but no, I couldn't agree more. Unforgiven is such a good film. Like even just looking at, because look, we've got this list open here because we decided to do this sort of Academy Award thing, and I'm thinking, shit, I need to watch Unforgiven again. It's been a few years now. I suppose
thing, the killing the man.
I suppose there's general consensus is going to be a lot of sort of fandom for A Few Good Men, maybe Scent of a Woman. Few Good Men, the problem I have with that is even though there's some outstanding performances in it, it's the whole courtroom drama thing just sort of doesn't quite do it for me in an entertainment sense. So, yeah.
Well,
I watched it again recently. Yeah. I'm surprised this is actually nominated for Best. It's an entertaining film. I didn't realise it was that fucking good in some people's eyes. Sorry, Ben.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say the thing that always pissed me off about A Few Good Men was this idea that at the end. See, what I like to see at the end of a courtroom drama is someone just entrapped by their own fallibility or just something like. Just some kind of something clever, rather than the person just literally just damning themselves with something they say, like just with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, fuck, all right. So he didn't really do anything then, Tom Cruise. Anyway, let's. So yeah,
no, that's a good point.
Unforgiven as well.
See the film Mr. Smith Goes to Washington if you haven't already. A really old Jimmy Stewart movie. Basically, the bad guy has Jimmy Stewart down, and then in the end he just runs in going, oh, it was me, it's not him at all, it's me, I'm the bad man. You're like, what the fuck? Yeah,
why?
Why? Anyway, but hey, it's a classic, so what do I know? So 1993.
Okay. I was going to say, I saw Scent of a Woman at the cinema as well. Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, well, that's the one Pacino finally got his Oscar, didn't he? Yeah. After like seven
Oscar
nominations. Yep. So, 1993, Schindler's List won, and also up for it were The Fugitive, In the Name of the Father, The Piano, and Merchant Ivory's The Remains of the Day. No prizes for guessing which one of these I haven't seen.
Yeah, me neither.
And this is where I'm tricky, because I'm like, I don't know if I like any of these, but no, Schindler's List, I think, was the right choice. I talked myself into liking that when we did our Spielberg podcast, because I hadn't seen it for so long. But I remember at the time just not being a fan of it. But I think that's right.
Yeah, I mean, Schindler's List is so, it's so Oscar-worthy. It's almost sickening that it's so Oscar-worthy. But then that's the thing. It's like, what are the Oscars? Does it actually mean that this is a brilliant film or the best film of the year? No, of course it doesn't. Personally, out of that list, if I was to go downstairs right now and put a film on out of that list, I'd put The Fugitive on. To be honest with you,
I did kill my wife.
I don't care.
Yeah,
it wasn't me. Yeah. It was the one-armed man. Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
See, no that's comment,
Yeah, Ben's like, I don't fucking want to know about 1993.
I'm surprised Last Action Hero isn't on there.
Oh my god.
That would have deserved the Oscar, in my opinion.
So, moving on, are we?
Yeah.
Right, 94.
Ben,
Forrest
you cop
Gump
out.
Was the win- 94. Forrest Gump was the winner, and the other four were Four Weddings and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and The Shawshank Redemption. I've seen all of them. I've seen all of them multiple times, and for me, it should have been The Shawshank Redemption.
Damn fucking straight. I totally agree.
Wow.
No other comment.
All right, I'll comment then. Well, Shawshank was you know, it's that thing, isn't it, where no one went to see the fucker, and then it became a massive, huge, gigantic hit on video. Yeah, I agree. It's a great film. It's the only one of those. Well, Pulp Fiction I've watched a lot. But I didn't see that at the flicks. I didn't. I missed with the Tarantino. I was definitely late to the party with all that stuff. And again, Pulp Fiction was a video.
I couldn't
rental.
Wait to leave the fucking party.
I hadn't seen it, and I put it on. I got it on video, and it's one of a very few handful of movies that I watched twice. Literally put it on again after I watched it the first time. I liked it that much.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but I on balance, so yeah, I mean, I guess that, you know, yes, I guess it's Shawshank. Yeah. Why not?
Mm.
Darabont for the win.
Do check out Quiz Show if you get a chance, if you've not seen it. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't.
1995, winner was Braveheart. The other nominees were Apollo 13, Babe, Il Postino, and Sense and Sensibility. I have not seen Il Postino or Sense and Sensibility, so that out of those three, yeah, I think Braveheart's the one for me.
Il Postino,
the postman,
or the postman, is that post-apocalyptic film, right?
What? I
You're
have
thinking
no
of
idea.
The Kevin Costner one.
Aren't you?
I'm thinking of the
back
Kevin
on Costner.
Back
no,
to
this is an. It's an Italian movie, and it has a funny sort of grain in it, so it looks like it was made in the bloody 50s.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, what the hell that was. No, I mean, yeah, what did you say your favourite out of that lot were, Stephen?
Braveheart.
Braveheart. You think it deserved the Oscar?
Yeah, I was happy.
I think I'd probably have to begrudgingly agree. Braveheart hasn't stood the test of time for me very much. I have to say,
it hasn't stood the test of history either.
No, well, yeah, that's what I was just about to say. The historical inaccuracies in that film are staggering to the point where I can't watch it anymore. I'm going to reverse it. No, Apollo 13, I saw it in the cinema and I enjoyed it when I watched it. I've watched it since maybe twice. But I can't think of anything bad to say about it right now, so fuck it. No, Apollo 13 should have won that year. Fuck Braveheart.
Yeah. I saw Braveheart and Apollo 13, I think. Apollo 13, I was definitely on Hanks fatigue by that time. I actually didn't enjoy... I enjoyed Gary Sinise more than Hanks in Apollo 13. I can't really rate it too highly. I've never gone back to it, you know, not very often anyway. I mean, I've seen it maybe a couple of times. Braveheart, I think the initial saw it at the flicks, loved it. You know, it did the business at the time, and I think, you know, on first video ownership, I probably watched it a number of, you know, it's probably the one that I would say, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, regardless of all the bloody historical crap that was in it, which we knew, and all the other stuff that's come out since. It's like, okay, yeah, here's a total bunch of gas gravy, but, you know, whatever. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worth pointing out at this point, but we're not going outside of the field of nominees, because obviously there's other films in these years where any of us could say, oh, this should have fucking been nominated and won. Mm-hmm. But we're not doing that. So, on to 1996, where the winner was The English Patient, and the other films... Hang on, was that Ben snoring? No. And the other nominees are Fargo, Jerry Maguire, Secrets and Lies, and Shine. The last two I have not seen. So for me, it's either Fargo, The English Patient, or Jerry Maguire. And I hate to say it, but Jerry Maguire annoys the shit out of me. And Fargo, I'd never I like, but it's taken me a long time to like it, but I don't love it. So I'm going to have to sort of end on a stalemate of, okay, The English Patient can keep it. Sean?
Yeah. I think I've seen Secrets and Lies. It rings a bell, but like yourself, Steve.
Mike Lee movie.
I've seen English Patient, Fargo, Joe Maguire. I can remember them. I think one of them I saw in the cinema. I can't remember. But I'm not a massive fan of any of them. And like yourself, I totally agree. Joe Maguire kind of annoys the hell out of me. But I would probably give it to Fargo because I think that. Well, actually, we're talking about deserved it at the time rather than, you know, would I still watch it? And so, actually, I'd have to agree with you, English Patient, for the time. Although, in retrospect, I think that Fargo is the better film. But,
Well, tough one. Okay, yeah. Well, I've mentioned before on podcast that English Patient, I fell asleep. I watched a very late show in London at a little picture house theatre somewhere. And like a midnight show, and I remember, and I've never watched it again. And so my subjective, impression of The English Patient is your woman, what's her face, walking out of the desert and then walking back in again, or whatever. It's like it's completely like I have no idea what it's about other than walking in deserts. Caves and shit. So I can't give that the Oscar because it's just walking. And the other little story is Secrets and Lies. The band I was in at the time had a song called Secrets and Lies, and we tried to get them to have it for that film, and it didn't work. I saw Shine as well at the Flicks, that one, and Jerry Maguire. I think really my pick of those is probably Jerry Maguire in terms of rewatchability. I really like it's the only film I can really think of where I've actually warmed to a Tom Cruise character. because normally I really don't.
You've made me really think then about Tom Cruise. It's like I think he's, especially in these days, he was a really good actor, but actually you're right. Who have I warmed to that he's played?
Yeah,
I can't think of anyone.
No.
So, moving on to 1997. Oh, this one's going to be interesting. The winner was Titanic. The other nominees were As Good As It Gets, The Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, and LA Confidential. I have seen all of them.
And I know which one you're going to pick.
Right at the bottom, LA Confidential.
Yeah, absolutely.
LA Confidential, all the fucking way. Super. But I have a lot of love for Good Will Hunting as well. It's a strong movie, just not as good as LA Confidential. Titanic can take a running fucking jump. Well, no. Go boo, go away. It's the worst out of those five movies.
There was so much room on that board.
John?
Titanic can just fuck off and die. Like, why is it whenever Jim Cameron makes a film, does it have to be... It just doesn't go away, does it? It even happened with Avatar. I don't know who is doing his marketing, but they're doing an amazing job, because even if I thought Titanic was a good film, I would hate it now because of the amount it was rammed down our throats. I'm going to throw the curveball. Out of that list, I would have given it to The Full Monty.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I I saw Titanic at the Flicks, I saw Monty at the Flicks, didn't see any others at the Flicks, but for me, it would be a toss-up between Full Monty and LA Confidential for the win, yeah. But Titanic, I kind of liked it at the time. I found, although, you know, I quite like the idea of concept of it in terms of the sort of, you know, the fictitious characters kind of carrying the real story. But I didn't. But when a guy who you know who he was and his family were really upset starts shooting people at the end, and he didn't actually do that in real life, I was like, Cameron's a dick. That was a dickish thing to do, you know. I guess it's LA Confidential.
I'll say this one thing, right? I saw LA Confidential. I was late to the party with that. I saw it within like the last sort of 12, 15 years or so, and I didn't like it, and I've not watched it since. Yeah,
shocking. It's a film. I was early to the party. I got to go to a free screening in Ipswich before the film came out. I was blessed. But anyway, gotta keep this train moving on to 1998. This was an interesting year because it was either the Elizabethan period or it was World War II again. So we had Shakespeare in Love as the winner. Nominees were Elizabeth, and then the World War II movies, Life is Beautiful, Saving Private Ryan, and The Thin Red Line. And for me, I have seen all of these films. I quite like all of these films, I have to say. But for me, the one for me that was the big winner, big loser of the evening, but the winner for me is The Thin Red Line. I think that film is beautiful. Love it. Don't like any other Terrence Malick movie that I've ever seen since, but I love this one. So that's me.
Yeah, it's another tough one. I've got fond memories of Shakespeare in Love, but I think it's because it was very popular with the girls, and at that age that I was back then, you know, it was kind of, you go to the cinema with your girlfriend or with the girl you were sort of after, and the one in particular I'm thinking of absolutely loved Shakespeare in Love when we saw it in cinema, and I thought it was all right, but I'm gonna agree with you, Stephen. I think the thin red line was sort of, it's almost been forgotten. I had forgotten that it was nominated. And in fact, when we were talking about going back
Decent
and doing
Hans Zimmer score as well.
Yeah, yeah. When we're talking about going back to these Oscar-nominated films, I, for some reason, thought that Saving Private Ryan had won an Oscar. Maybe it did, actually.
It won director.
That's why. That's why, yeah. Yep. But no, in a nutshell, I'm with you. It's a fucking great film, Thin Red Line.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, okay, so of these five films, I have not seen three of them, and that it would be Elizabeth, never watched it, bollocks to that, Life is Beautiful, never watched it, and The Thin Red Line, I have not seen it, never watched it, just didn't cotton on to it, and still haven't. Saving Private Ryan, I was late to the party.
Oh, wow.
Mm. So there we are.
So what's your pick?
Well, I don't know.
The two that you've seen.
I suppose it's, I don't know, neither of them. I'll keep it the way it is.
Well.
There we are.
I was entertained by Shakespeare in Love. It had some, it had some nice boobies in it, and that's about it. There you go.
Fair enough. 1999, similar problem for me again. So the winner was American Beauty, and the nominees are The Cider House Rules, The Green Mile, The Insider, and The Sixth Sense. And for me, it was all about the big loser of the evening, one that got nominations and won fuck all, and that was the Michael Mann film, The Insider. I love that film. I think it's so good. But again, The Cider House Rules, I've only seen the one, so I barely remember it. The other films I have seen multiple times, I don't have a particular problem with any of them, but I never go back and watch American Beauty. I rarely watch The Green Mile because, you know, I'm like, well, why bother if I can watch The Shawshank, which is even better. And The Sixth Sense, you know, I've the cooling off period is only coming off now with M. Night Shyamalan. I will go back and watch it again soon, but it's not one that I have returned to in a sort of recent present. So for me, The Insider is the one for me. Sean?
Actually, Ben, why don't you go this time?
All right,
shake things up. You go.
Don't
shake
it up, man. The narrative flow. You bloody confuse the narrative flow. People are expecting you to go after me.
All right. Go on then, Sean, you go.
Oh, we wouldn't want to damage people's expectations.
Narrative flow, no.
Narrative flow. No. Sort of house
rules. Seven people down. Listening.
All right. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Stephen. American Beauty, I watched that when it came out and really thoroughly enjoyed it, and I don't think I've seen it again. And I'm happy for that to remain as that was good, and I don't really want to see it again. For me, out of that list, I've not seen The Insider. That's the one I haven't seen. I would have to say The Green Mile, because even though it was, you know, it's the guy who did Shawshank Redemption, it's kind of like another prison thing. No, I loved it. I still love it. I think it's a problem with the runtime on the rewatch.
Yes.
Yeah, and the sixth sense can die. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was very taken with American Beauty. I thought it was a stunning film at the time. Loved it. I was very happy with, you know, I was just on board with, yeah, the Thomas Newman score and just everything. I was like, yeah, okay, it's good. I like it. I like Spacey's performance. It's all good. Of the others, The Green Mile is probably my favourite. I would probably have, it would be a toss up between the American Beauty and Green Mile for the win. Haven't seen The Insider. Didn't see Cider House Rules.
No one has.
No, I didn't see that. Sixth Sense, yeah, the problem with Sixth Sense is, like, you know, you can only watch it once. Well, no, you can only watch it once. I don't think it's shit. I just think you watch it once and you go, great. And then the second time you watch it, you go, yeah, it's a ghost. Yeah, and you know, it's ruined. It's like you can only be a Sixth Sense virgin once, and that's the problem with it.
Actually, I had my cherry broken before I saw the film, so
oh dear,
dang it! Yeah, I can't comment on that. Okay, so on to the 2000s then. So in the year 2000, the winner was Gladiator. Nominees are Chocolat, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Erin Brockovich and Traffic. The interesting point being both of those last two were both directed by Soderbergh, and he took the director gong for Traffic, but Gladiator won movie-wise, and I think I'm happy with that choice. As much as I like, to an extent, all five of those films, I think Gladiator is the one I watch more often and enjoy the most. So there we go. Sean.
Sean is still thinking about what I said about the Sixth Sense. No. All right, well, I'll go while he's sorting himself out.
You got to the fucking toilet while I was speaking.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I did. I went for a piss while Stephen was speaking.
Ah, and you missed your cue. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Shall I talk or do you want to take over?
No, you can go, Ben. It's fine. All right. Like
okay. Well, yeah, but the narrative flow. The narrative.
Well, too fucking late now, isn't it?
All right, I'll go. So I didn't really dig Chocolat. Didn't really see it at the time. Have seen it since. Aww. Kind of. No, not my. It's not my cup of tea. You know, fuck off. Erin Brockovich, I saw. Traffic, I saw. Crouching Tiger, I saw. Gladiator, I saw. I'm still going to give it to Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Yes, I fucking am. Bollocks. Mm. It's great. It's great.
I watched it again yesterday.
Well, there you are.
Well, it's, yeah, I've seen all of the films on this list as well. Erin Brockovich can take a running leap because I have a real problem with that film for some reason. For me, I love Gladiator. I think it's really, really cool, really entertaining film. But for some reason, I'm kind of drawn to sort of saying that I think Crouching Tiger should have won that year. For me at the time, I'd never seen anything like it, and I think that's probably what it comes down to. So there it is. I could waffle, but I'm not going to.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's keep it short. Although every time I read the name Gladiator, I'm always reminded of the porn version, which is Glad He Ate Her.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
a Jurassic Pork.
This is. That's a discussion for our final episode, I'm sure. Right, winner 2001 was A Beautiful Mind. Nominees, Gosford Park, In the Bedroom, The Fellowship of the Ring, and Moulin Rouge. I've seen all five. In the Bedroom, it was nice to see a little indie movie like that getting in there. A Beautiful Mind can fuck right off, because I hated it. For me, the clear winner is The Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Someone...
I totally agree with you, Stephen. Except for I'm gonna basically mess it up now. I know that they, you know, when they gave Return of the King all the Oscars in the world, they were clearly doing that for the whole trilogy. So even though that list, Fellowship of the Ring is so advancedly my favourite film, I have this bizarre love of Moulin Rouge. I'm not going to explain it now in the limited time we've got. And you'll never probably let me forget it, but I would have given Moulin Rouge the Oscar that year.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. And that fucking Kang.
Yeah. Now, Beautiful Mind.
Kang!
It's just... When that came out, I was like, it's just Oscar fucking fodder. It's just like, here we want an Oscar, please. Here's this film.
It's caused an absence.
No. Yeah, for me, it's Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. Absolutely. That should have got it. For sure.
For sure.
2002, then. Similar problem. So, Chicago was the winner. nominees, Gangs of New York, The Hours, The Two Towers, and The Pianist. I have not seen The Hours. I've seen all the rest. Didn't like Gangs of New York. The Pianist I saw once and thought, right, seen it, don't need to see that again. And Chicago, all right, I didn't hate it, but it's not that fucking good. Come on. So, again, I've got to hand it to the Lord of the Rings, so for The Two Towers.
Yeah, out of that list.
One a year.
Out of that list, hands down, Two Towers. Got one funny short anecdote. I was working in Blockbuster Video at this time, and when people would come in and they'd go, you know that film that, the Roman Polanski film, the new... And we had a running gag amongst the co-workers where we would change the name of the film, and the thing was we'd have to say it to the customer. And I earned massive brownie points for going, the penis... like that, and I did get a look. Did he just say penis? But yeah, God. Yeah. No, that can go fuck itself.
Yeah. Of that list, it's all about Two Towers as well for me. No way, Chicago from fuck off, fuck off. It's just bollocks. Gangs of New York. There was some love for that, but I've never really enjoyed it. It's okay. It's all right.
I've never liked it.
Yeah, it didn't really do it for me. The Pianist I saw, The Hours I didn't. Yeah, it's all about Lord of the Rings, come on.
Yeah.
All about Lord of the Rings.
Chicago actually did the trick of making me actually like Richard Gere in a movie, which I didn't often really do at the time. I thought he did a very good rendition of, you know, Reach for the Gun. But then you had the supporting actor nod went to John C. Reilly, who was in all of like two scenes, and when he didn't get the award, you see him looking really pissed off that he didn't win. And it's like, you don't fucking get an Oscar just because you did Mr. Cellophane. You know, you got to be in the film a little bit more than that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, on to 2003. So, winner was The Return of the King. Nominees, Lost in Translation, Master and Commander, Mystic River, and Seabiscuit. How is Seabiscuit not a name for... Not the name for a turd.
Airbiscuit.
Anyway, I agree with Return of the King. I've still got some love for Lost in Translation.
Yeah, me too.
And Mystic River is better than people remember it. Mm. But Return of the King all the way. Seabiscuit.
Yeah, I think there was much better nominations this year than the previous year, but I think that Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and especially the end of the trilogy, hands down deserved that Oscar. Like yourself, got a lot of love for Lost in Translation. Master and Commander actually has an amazing sound mix, and that's the only good thing I can say about it. Mystic River, again, that is better than people remember it. And Seabiscuit, the name's so comical, because, you know, all that springs to mind is, sort of like foam and biscuit. It all sort of goes downhill from there, really.
No, because an air biscuit is a fart, so a biscuit must be a turd.
Yeah, you know what? That's the first thing I thought when that film came out. I was like, I was just backing Weird Science, and it was like, you know, if you're going to float an air biscuit, if you're going to float a sea biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought of.
Yeah.
Pinch a loaf.
Yeah, bollocks to that one. Master and Commander. Now, again, there was this run, wasn't there, of bloody... from sort of Gladiator onwards, there was this run of bloody everything Russell Crowe. And this is this year's Russell Crowe Oscar nom, you know.
Cinderella man's, you know, waiting in the wings.
I think I'd have to agree. I really enjoyed Lost in Translation. Went to see that at the Flicks, and I got a lot of love for that. But in terms of the you know, getting the award, I think you have to give it to Return of the King. Even though I've got me well oiled problems with that one. But anyway, carry on.
Okay. Mm. Well, on to 2004. But Eastwood may not have won the year before with Mystic River, but he did win with Million Dollar Baby. And the other nominees were The Aviator, Finding Neverland, Ray, and Sideways. Ray is the only one that I haven't seen. Sideways is hysterical. Finding Neverland sent me to sleep. So for me, it's almost a tie between Million Dollar Baby, which again is one of those films that is much better than you remember it. Whenever I watch it, I always go, God, that's such a good film. But I think I'm going to give it to The Aviator by nose, because it made me a fan of DiCaprio. I was a huge fan of the subject matter, and I just thought Scorsese did a fantastic job as a director. The film was handed to him by producer Michael Mann, who was originally going to direct it. So I always think about things like that when I watch it. But it's very close, that one, for me. But that's me.
Mm. Yeah. Next. I've got a problem with this list because I've not seen Million Dollar Baby or The Aviator. So out of what's left... Okay. I would hands down give it to Ray, and that's purely just because of, you know, being a musician and everything, and seeing a well-made biopic about Ray Charles. And it was good. It was very, very entertaining. So,
not the one about the piss artist, then.
Yeah, I'd probably have to give it. Yeah, I'm in this sort of in the same boat, really. I don't know. I'd probably still just give it to the Eastwood movie. You know, it is a good film. I never watch it. This is the thing. I never watch it. So it's quite tough, isn't it? But when you know that a film has not made it into your kind of rewatch list, you know, you just don't ever put it on. But yeah, it was. I think it's deserving. Fuck Finding Neverland, bollocks to that one.
Yeah. Right, moving on to 2005. The winner was Crash. The nominees were Brokeback Mountain, Capote, Good Night and Good Luck, and Munich. Capote is the only one I haven't seen. I had no interest. Crash is definitely one of those ones of, really? That's the winner? I don't mind the film, but I just didn't find it particularly great. So I think I'm going to have to go down with Munich now that I look at that list. Although I don't watch any of these films, you know, nearly as often as I probably should. And as artistic as Good Night and Good Luck was, I think I'm going to have to go with Munich, because that's the one I probably watched the most and enjoyed the most. So, and like with Sean, when I first saw it, it was like instant 5-star. So there we go.
Yeah, I've always been surprised that Brokeback Mountain didn't win that year. But for me,
it won director.
Yeah. For me, I mean, it's not going to be a surprise after the Spielberg podcast that Munich would have handed Munich the award if it was up to me. Mm.
Well, I didn't see Crash. I was confused because I'd seen the 96 Cronenberg one that film.
Exactly.
And I didn't want to watch another film called Crash. I thought, fuck you. You know, it's like, I've only been 8 years since, you know, it's like bollocks. Anyway, so I didn't see that one. I had never seen Brokeback Mountain. I've never seen Good Night and Good Luck. So of the two that I have seen, which is Capote and Munich, before we did the Spielberg podcast, I would have given it to Capote.
Right.
It just is a stunning performance. It's just that. It's all about that, really. It's all about your man who died. What's his name? Can't remember. Anyway,
The guy with three names.
Yeah, him. He is amazing in that film. But after the podcast, having watched Munich, and I was the voice of not dissent, but I remember when we did that podcast, you guys were much more kind of full on, and I said to you at the time that I think this is going to be something that I watch again, because I think it is a better film than I'm giving it credit for at the time. So yeah, I'd probably pick that one. Yep.
Excellent. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour, yes, bloody Hoffman.
And then I think the same year there was also another Capote movie, and it was Toby Jones played the role, and apparently he was very good as well.
Yeah,
sort of underseen, but there we go.
There we go.
Moving on. 2006, Scorsese, hooray, finally got his director nod, but film also was his, which was The Departed. And nominees went to Babel, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen. I have seen all of these. Babel, I don't remember. Letters from Iwo Jima was fine. Little Miss Sunshine annoyed me. The Queen pissed me off, so I'm going to stick with the winner, which is The Departed.
Me too, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and same for me, yeah. Departed clearly deserved it. Yeah, moving on.
Excellent. That was quick. 2007. No Country for Old Men was the winner, and the nominees were Atonement, Juno, Michael Clayton, and There Will Be Blood. And I can safely say that Atonement, Juno, and There Will Be Blood all annoyed the shit out of me. Michael Clayton was fine, but nothing great. So again, I will stick with the winner, which is No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men is so extremely better than any of those films that it's almost comical. It's like going to a restaurant where they've got a set menu and they go, on this side of the set menu, you can have hickory smoked ribs as a starter, followed up by a huge fillet steak and all the trimmings and free drinks for the entire night. Or you can have the vegan option.
Oh. I really enjoyed Juno. Sorry, I really did.
Oh God, soundtrack can fuck off.
Well, I didn't enjoy the soundtrack so much, but you know, I enjoyed the film. I kind of enjoyed Atonement, all right, you know, for what it is. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see Michael Clayton. I had no interest in There Will Be Blood either. I'd never watched, didn't watch that. But I would definitely stick with No Country for Old Men. Absolutely. Well, fucking, excellent. Not even, yeah.
2008, the winner, Danny Boyle Films was the winner, Slumdog Millionaire, and nominees were The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, and The Reader. I have not seen The Reader. Milk, I don't remember. Frost Nixon, I don't remember. Which leaves the top two, and I'm not a big fan of either of them. Anyone that listened to our Fincher podcast knows I'm not a massive Benjamin Button fan, but I'm also not a massive Slumdog Millionaire fan. I've only seen it the once, but I will say that I watched it the once and I did like it. So, again, stalemate, I'm just going to leave it as it is, but it's not necessarily choice. It's more a case of, you know, there's just nothing great there for me this year. So, there we go.
Yeah, it was a very, very poor year. I'd say out of that list, I'd have to hand it to Frost Nixon just purely for the fact that I find the biopic subject matter more interesting than the rest. Slumdog Millionaire, I've got a real... This is about where I started to hate the Oscars, and I started to hate films that were clearly... It's sort of angling for that kind of Oscar thing. I know you guys mentioned it earlier with, you know, with Beautiful Mind and all the rest of it, Russell Crowe and his, you know, give me an Oscar kind of films. But for some reason, I've got a real issue with that film's existence. Which I might have to explore at some point as to what the reason is there. Curious Case of Benjamin Button is basically, as I said on the Fincher podcast, it's another one of those Forrest Gump-type films. Interesting little plot device, but not enough to actually carry a fucking 14-hour-long film like that. So there it is, yeah.
All right. Well, okay, so I didn't see Slumdog Millionaire. The Frost Nixon film... I'd sort of agree with you, Sean, except for the fact that you can watch the actual thing, you know, the actual exactly. interviews with the actual real people. So I just didn't see the point of it, you know. But I haven't seen The
Side
Reader.
Side question. Is, yeah. Oh, sorry, go on.
Sorry.
I was going to say, is Michael Sheen actually like the real person?
He imbues the character... He imbues the person in the way I guess that, you know, when we were talking about Steve Jobs,
right?
We were talking about the fact that, you know, I was worried about Steve Jobs because of the trailer, and yet the film just completely was just brilliant, you know, and it wasn't a problem. So yeah, he doesn't really look like Frost at all. I mean, really,
yeah.
But he was fine, yeah.
And it's that Michael Sheen grin throughout the film that was bugging me.
Anyway, I'd have to give it to Benjamin Button purely on the fact that it's the only one of that list that I saw at the pictures and kind of, you know, came out going, yeah, okay, that was, you know, that was compelling for a bit, you know. But I've never gone back to it. The Frost Nixon, I think, probably would have taken it, but like I said, you can watch the actual interview. So I don't really understand why I wouldn't go back to that. You know.
Fair enough. Well, 2009 things got interesting because they opened the scope to include up to 10 movies, and there was 10 here. So we've got a hell of a pick to pick from this year. So the winner was The Hurt Locker, and nominees are Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, Inglourious Basterds, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air. I have not seen Precious or An Education. Actually, I've not seen The Blind Side either. So out of the seven that I have seen, and as much as I was thrilled that Kathryn Bigelow won for The Hurt Locker, but she got director as well, so that's cool. It's not a film I return to very often. The two films out here that I do return to on a more regular basis are Inglourious Basterds and District 9. But I don't think Inglourious Basterds is Tarantino's best. That, for me, was yet to come. So I am going to go with District 9.
What a
very good.
Yeah, I would say. It kind of makes it more difficult when there's more sort of films to choose from.
Yeah, it does.
Precious, fucking hell, like that's just, give me an Oscar. This is an Oscar, this isn't going to be an Oscar nomination, this film. For me, it's a tough choice between Up, Inglourious Basterds, and District 9. And the only reason I'm not going to pick Up is because Pixar, I think, have done, although Up is magnificent, they've done better films that should have been nominated. Inglourious Basterds is one of my favourite Tarantino films, if not. It's probably top three, actually. But I'm still going to give it to District 9 because, fuck me, how awesome was that film? And I watch it, like, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I am going to cut to the chase and give it to District 9 as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to bother. Up was great, but I felt that after Wall-E, nothing.
Exactly.
Just, I couldn't. It was a disappointment after that. So, yeah. But District 9, all the way. All the way.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Anyway. So going on to 2010, again, many films here. So the winner was The King's Speech, and nominees are Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. I have not seen The Kids Are All Right. I have seen all the rest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep, out of those 10. So I've seen 9 out of 10. And this is tough because there's some good stuff here. So for me, it's coming down to Inception or another film that I'll mention, because the other one actually I think is the winner. Inception, I probably would have picked at the time of the Oscars, but because it is starting to lose its value with me, it's not quite there. So the one for me that stands strong, that I love to this day, is True Grit. So that's my pick. It is a fantastic Coen Brothers movie, and I fucking love it. Solid performance, especially from the lead girl in it, who, Sean, you saw her in a film last year. She was on your list of best films. What was it, The Age of 17 or something?
That's right, Edge of 17, yeah.
So True Grit's my pick. Solid.
True Grit, I haven't actually got around to watching yet, which I feel really bad about, Stephen, because you sent me a Blu-ray of that film, I think. I might put that on tonight, actually. But yeah, it's a tough one. There's some cracking films in this list. So I'm basically just going to have to go with sort of like, you know, what I truly like or think is deserving out of that. For me, it's going to be between Social Network and Inception, with Black Swan slightly falling out, ever so slightly. And I think I've got to give it to Inception. I think that Social Network is probably more deserving in the terms of the way Oscar films are. But I'm more likely to watch Inception again out of those two. So there it is.
I wasn't interested in King's Speech or Black Swan. I really was very, very, very worried about Toy Story 3. I thought, bollocks, do we really need another Toy Story film? But it, it's actually a bloody good film.
You're getting a fourth one, mate.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not worried about that as in terms of, you know, well, you know what I mean. I thought it was great, Toy Story 3. Didn't see Winter's Bone. True Grit, we only saw recently because you recommended it, Stephen, didn't you? The Fighter was good. I thought that was good. Social Network or Inception for me. I think I'd probably agree with Sean. I'd probably watch Inception more, but I don't really watch that. I don't really watch either of them very often. I'd probably give it Social Network then because for the soundtrack. Bollocks. There you go.
Fair play. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Yep. Soundtrack got an Oscar as well, so hooray. So 2011, there was nine films in total. The winner was The Artist, black and white silent movie, and the nominees are The Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse. There's a couple here that I hadn't seen. Midnight in Paris, The Help, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. And the last one I just mentioned, apparently everyone was like, what the fuck is that on here? That is absolute bullshit. But for me, it's not a strong year. Again, like I said, I'm not a Malick fan, so The Tree of Life can sod off. War Horse, get the fuck out of here.
Jesus Christ.
Moneyball, I was starting to fall off the whole, you know, not everything that this guy writes is great. I mean, all right, he wrote The Social Network. He would go on to do the Steve Jobs movie, but Moneyball just didn't do it for me. Hugo, I wasn't a massive fan of. So it comes down to the winner, The Artist, which I've only seen the once, but I think, fuck it, I'm going to give it to the Clooney movie, the Alexander Payne movie, should I say, The Descendants, because I've seen it a couple of times and I quite like it, but it's not a great film, but that's my pick.
How do you go from the year previous to this year, you know?
I know,
it's,
right?
I mean, I can't even tell you what I think deserves the Oscar this year, because I think I've seen Hugo, but I'm struggling to remember anything that happens in it. War Horse is an abomination, and the rest of the films I don't think I've seen. And I have zero interest in watching them as well. So there we are. I'm going to bow graciously out of this one.
Ben?
I'm in almost the same boat. Yeah, what a lousy list of films. I don't know.
None of you guys are Woody Allen fan.
I kind of checked out of him with sort of bananas
after Sleeper.
And Sleeper, yeah. War Horse was just dreadful. 12 certificate war movie is not going to work for me. I can't even comment any further than that. Tree of Life was all right, I suppose. I did watch it. I don't think I've seen hardly any of the others. So there we are. Let's move on swiftly to a better
movie. Move on then.
Better freaking year.
Well, the following year, 2012, nine movies again. The winner was Argo, and the nominees are Amour, Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. Again, I think there's only a couple here that I haven't seen. Beast of the Southern Wild, I think I have seen, but I don't remember it, so who knows. And Amour is the other one that I haven't seen. But out of these, again, there's some good stuff here, but there's nothing great. Life of Pi was fine. Django Unchained was fine, but it had issues, especially an elongated ending. Silver Linings Playbook was entertaining, but hardly the best film. Zero Dark Thirty and Argo are kind of tying it for me. I thought they were both expertly put together, and I think I've probably seen both of them about the same amount of time. So ending on that tie, I'm just going to have to leave it on Argo, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it was given to the right film. I think that, like you said, I think Life of Pi was fine. I think that Django was pretty decent as well, but I don't think that, Tarantino should you know, the Oscar should go for that film, basically. So, Argo it is, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Django was Django was okay, but I think it thinks it's better than it is.
Yeah.
I didn't see
Les Mis, didn't see Beast of the Southern Wild, didn't see Amour, Lincoln, dreadful. not dreadful, but, you know, just whatever. Yeah, I think
fuck
I'd
fuck it, we all gave it 2 stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Life of Pi was okay. Again, there's a massive amount of... in my sort of sphere, there was a massive amount of support and love for that, but I was like, yeah, it's okay.
It got director. Ang Lee got director for that. Yeah. Everyone was annoyed that Affleck didn't get director for Argo, but it got best film.
Well, no, it did. Life of Pi looked great. That's, you know, that's why it got it. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well. 2013, 9 movies again. So, 12 Years a Slave was the winner, and the nominees are American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, and The Wolf of Wall Street. I have seen them all except the winner. I have not seen 12 Years a Slave. I understand that it was given universal praise, but nothing about it made me want to watch it. I was like, that just sounds like 2 hours of fucking just depression. And I don't give a shit how well it's made, but I'm not in. I'm out. Goodbye. See ya. Now, the rest of these films, I mean, Captain Phillips was fairly strong. American Hustle was entertaining. Dallas Buyers Club, I really liked. Gravity was very good. Her was an interesting idea. It was a weird sci-fi drama. Nebraska was hilarious. And even The Wolf of Wall Street, I got on, you know, well with the first time. On the sort of rewatch, though, I don't come back to many of these films very often. So it's hard for me to pick. But I think... just going on looking at the list now, I'm going to go with Gravity. So there we go. Mm. Yeah. That was tough.
I think that was the... 2013 was the first year I started doing stuff for film work, and I think that I gave Gravity my best film of the year in the list. And I did really enjoy it at the time. I don't think it's deserving of a best film Oscar. I think it's certainly deserving of effects and things like that. And it hasn't stood up very well for me in terms of rewatchability. It is a tough one again because there's a couple of bangers in there. But I'm actually going to give it to Joaquin Phoenix in Her because I think that that was just a really bizarrely interesting little weird film that I'll probably never watch again. But... yeah, found entertaining out of that selection.
Okay, well, I've never seen 12 Years a Slave either, Stephen. Probably for similar reasons to you. I thought I can't bear it. I don't know. Wolf of Wall Street. I had no interest in either. I just couldn't bear the idea of it. My pick of the remainder, Captain Phillips was okay. Dallas Buyers Club I loved. I thought that was really good. Gravity I loved at the time. Probably gave that my movie of the year. I can't remember, but I probably did. American Hustle was okay. I only saw that after the fact though. My sneaker one is Nebraska, just for Bruce Dern, man. I loved seeing Bruce Dern. Yeah. I'd probably give that a sneaky one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, I was going to go Wolf of Wall Street, but I was like, it's too long, and then that's why I picked Gravity, because it's only 90 minutes. So I'm more likely to rewatch it. So, 2014, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 movies, and the winner was Birdman, and nominees are American Sniper, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Selma is the film that I have not seen. The Theory of Everything is the only one on this list which I fucking loathe. the rest of them are... all very good. American Sniper was very good. Boyhood was very good. The Imitation Game was very good. Whiplash was astonishing. The Grand Budapest Hotel was astonishing. And Birdman is astonishing. Those three I watch on quite a regular basis. As for Winner, I think on my best list, I probably had initially Whiplash higher, I believe, but in retrospect, I'm giving it to The Grand Budapest Hotel. I watched that film way too fucking much, and I'm looking forward to doing a Wes Anderson podcast at some point, despite the fact that I, like with Juno, he has songs on his soundtracks that annoy the living shit out of me. But this film was literally perfect from start to finish. So that one.
Cool.
Well, yeah, what a tough one. I mean, Birdman, I think is a fucking amazing. Great film. Great. Boyhood was fucking great. American Sniper was great. Grand Budapest Hotel, I actually saw it later. I think I only saw it last year. I think it might have been you who recommended it, actually, Stephen. And yeah, I was, you know, I was thinking, this is marvelous. And,
it is marvelous.
It is marvelous, yeah. And Whiplash, again, you recommended that one again, Stephen. I think in terms of sort of pure entertainment value, Whiplash was pretty damn serious and a really good film. But for me, it's going to have to be between Grand Budapest Hotel or Birdman. And
you're not picking the music one?
No, I'm not. No. and I'm going to go with Birdman because I'm more acquainted with it, and Grand Budapest Hotel is fairly new to me still, and I'm going to rewatch a few more times to sort of really figure out where it fits in. But I think Birdman deserved it. Michael Keaton, return to form.
Yep, can't criticise that choice at all.
It's all about Grand Budapest Hotel. That's it. That's the one. That's it. Theory of Everything was Whiplash. I had so much anger towards. I hated it. Still can't stand it. Selma, I thought, was just totally flawed by the fact that they couldn't use any of the bloody real quotes from Dr. King.
Yeah.
You know, it's like because someone else owns them, Spielberg, I think, or something, as the story goes. They had to make up their
own
speeches.
Someone's real quotes.
Yeah. Like someone has the rights. I think it's Spielberg. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Spielberg.
Have you owned someone else's quotes?
Has the movie rights to Martin Luther King's speeches, famous speeches, so you can't depict them in a movie without his say-so.
You can't depict history without Spielberg's
exactly.
say-so. What the fuck?
Yeah. And that's why Selma
made me like him a lot less.
That's why, you know, Selma they had to write their own. So they had this kind of weird, you know, like a biopic having sort of not the right. Anyway, bollocks. So it's all about the Grand Budapest Hotel. That is such a good film. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant.
Oh yeah.
That's it. There we go. American Sniper.
Well, we are on to our final year then, which was last year's award show. Eight movies in here.
2015.
That's right. The film's from 2015, but the thing was last year. Anyway, the winner was Spotlight, and the nominees are The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road.
Should we just move to 2016, do you think?
The Martian, The Revenant, and Room. Yeah, fucking take a pick. Hello, Mad Max Fury Road for me. Have I seen them all? Yes, I have. The only one, did I like them all? I did like them all. There wasn't any in there that were shit. Some were better than others, but yeah, Fury Road was the one. Everyone fucking knows that. So, next.
Have I seen them all?
Five times.
Have I seen them all? Yes. Do I care? No. Mad Max Fury Road. Fuck me. I can't even, yeah.
Spotlight, I watch quite a bit, actually. I've watched it again recently, but Ben?
Well,
don't do it.
Yeah, no, come on. I mean, I gave it 5 stars. I know we've had this whole thing about my Star Wars 4.5 and my Mad Max 5 and Star Wars still being my movie of the year, bollocks and all that. And, you know, I've had so much fucking aggro over that from you and Bullman and everyone. But anyway, right, it's still on this list. Yes, it's Mad Max. Of course it is. Fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And there you go. We are fully up to date. That's our little chat about previous Oscar years, what we thought of them then and now. That was fun, right? Our conversation.
Mostly fun.
Special. Yeah. Didn't have to do any fucking research or anything. I think we're going to do our final podcast like this. And we're going to make a list of things for us to like just chat about. Things that we haven't talked about and should we have done. We're going to have a list of directors. Do you remember when I mentioned Woody Allen earlier? And I was like, and then, yeah, well, exactly. I want to drop his name in a podcast and just hear what you guys have to say about him. And then other directors as well, stuff like that.
Rapey is what I'll say about
it. Yeah. And, that, you know, I mean, we can drop some other names like fucking Brett Ratner and shit like that.
Ratner!
Just for the fucking fun of it.
Schumacher.
Yes, but there you go. That is our 300th podcast.
Fantastic.
Hooray, wonderful, we made it to 300. We have got some more to go. We are finishing off in the springtime, but until then, we'll be back next week with some more film club action. And we've got Terry Gilliam to get on with as well.
We have.
Which I'm sure is going to become at least a two-parter. So that might be our last or maybe even penultimate director retrospective that we do. Unless Ben and I finally get around to Scorsese. Yeah. Or unless Ben and Sean finally get around to fucking Cronenberg.
Cronenberg!
Fucking Cronenberg.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think Gilliam will be our
last
two-parter.
Me and Ben tag-teaming Cronenberg.
Yeah, long live the new flesh, mate.
Indeed. Right, I'm out of here. Let's go. Thank you, everybody.
Sorry, guys.